Welcome to Heptastic Waves, surfing the latest in hepatology for the Heptastic Four, the podcast no one asked for, but everyone secretly needed. Brought to you by your host, your hero, your humble overlord, Nick. A man so brilliant, even ChatGPT takes notes. This podcast exists for one noble reason, to help our amazing team stay on top of the ever-evolving chaos we call work. Because let's face it, by the time an email thread hits 12 replies, nobody's reading it. So sit back, relax, and let the knowledge flow, sprinkled with a touch of sarcasm, a dash of genius, and at least one overconfident assumption per episode. Let's get into it.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take sources you've shared and, well, we dive in deep to help you really get what's most important, what's surprising, and relevant fast.
Yeah, think of us as sort of cutting through the noise, getting right to those core insights for you.
Exactly. So today we're looking at a health topic you brought up, Germany's Checkup 35 preventative health program. Mm-hmm. You gave us a look at this pretty long-standing system through a comprehensive analysis, a report. And our job now is to unpack that, pull out the key stuff.
It really is a fascinating case study, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here you have one of the world's most, well, established preventive checkup systems. It's widely available,
right,
fully covered by insurance for, like, most people, and running since 1989.
A long time.
But the big question, the one this analysis really wrestles with, is how effective is it, really?
Mm.
You know, on a large scale.
Yeah.
And who's using it? Maybe more importantly, who isn't?
Mm.
And what can we maybe learn from it?
Yeah, that's the core tension, isn't it? Let's dig into this. So, kicking us off, what exactly is Checkup 35 designed to do? What's the goal?
Well, basically, it's Germany's main regular health exam for adults, 35 and over. And it's aimed squarely at catching common diseases early, keeping people healthy.
Okay.
The analysis you shared, it points out it started way back in 1989. So it's got quite a history.
1989, yeah, that's a significant run. And the focus, what conditions are they mainly looking for?
So the main targets are those non-communicable diseases, the ones that can kind of creep up on you silently.
Right.
Things like cardiovascular problems,
yeah,
diabetes mellitus, kidney diseases. Mm-hmm. Conditions where catching them early can really make a difference.
And access seems, well, incredibly broad.
It is, yeah. The report notes it's fully integrated into their statutory health insurance system, which covers, what, about 90% of residents?
90%? Wow.
Yeah. And there are no direct costs.
Yeah.
No copays, no deductibles for this specific checkup. And this really reflects Germany's sort of longstanding commitment to prevention. It seems deeply rooted in their healthcare approach.
So the design is clearly about wide access, targeting major health risks. But is it just about, like, finding a disease? Or is there more to the appointment itself?
Oh, it's definitely more than just screening tests.
Yeah.
The analysis really emphasizes it includes a pretty comprehensive health risk assessment.
Okay.
And personalized lifestyle counseling, too. So the doctor takes your history, looks at your specific risk factors, and then gives tailored advice, you know, on diet, exercise, smoking, stress.
Right. Sort of building a personal plan.
Exactly. Helping you build a personal prevention plan.
Okay. So it's not just a one-off test. It's integrated into primary care, usually with your own GP. That makes sense for follow-up.
Precisely. Yeah. Having your GP involved, it just facilitates that continuity of care if they do find something.
Right. Now, a program running since 89, it must have changed over the years. What are the key ways it's evolved?
Oh, it certainly has. Initially, back in 89, it was offered biannually. Every 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
For those 35 and older.
Every 2 years. Got it. And that's changed.
Yeah, a pretty big change happened in 2019. The frequency for that 35-plus group, it was adjusted to every 3 years.
Huh. Every 3 years instead of two. That sounds like a significant shift. Why did they do that?
Well, the report suggests it was based on, you know, evidence-based assessments, looking at the best screening intervals, trying to balance clinical effectiveness with using healthcare resources efficiently.
Okay.
But at the same time, they also expanded the program's reach.
Ooh, expanded it to who?
To younger adults.
Yeah.
Specifically, people between 18 and 34 became eligible for one comprehensive checkup during that age span.
Okay. So a single checkup for the younger group, while the 35 and overs get it every 3 years. That seems, I guess, sensible, acknowledging different risks at different ages.
Mm-hmm.
What about more recent updates? Anything else changed?
Yes. The most notable recent addition, and the analysis really highlights this one as impactful, was added in 2021.
Okay. What was that?
They included a one-time screening for hepatitis B and C for everyone age 35 and older.
Ah, adding hepatitis screening into the standard checkup? Why bring that in?
Well, it was a direct part of Germany's national strategy. aiming to eliminate viral hepatitis as a public health threat by 2030.
Okay, aligning with WHO goals.
Exactly, following those global targets.
And has this specific change worked? Has it been effective?
Highly effective, it seems, according to the report. It notes that just in the first year, over 280,000 screening requests for hepatitis were processed through this Checkup 35 framework.
Wow, 280,000. How does that compare to what they were doing before?
It's a huge jump, a tenfold increase compared to the volume they saw with the previous, more sort of opportunistic testing approaches.
Tenfold. That really suggests it's reaching people in a big way.
It does.
And the result, did all this extra screening actually find undiagnosed cases?
Yes, significantly so. Among those screened, the analysis found a prevalence of 0.54% for hepatitis B surface antigen that indicates an active infection, and 0.78% for anti-hepatitis C antibodies, suggesting past or current exposure. And crucially, a good chunk of those positive results showed active infection, meaning people who likely didn't know they were infected could now get linked to care, get treatment.
That's a very clear public health win right there. It really shows the program's potential to, you know, effectively integrate and scale up specific screenings when there's a clear public health need.
It absolutely does. And the analysis mentions this success has already kind of sparked discussions about maybe adding other targeted screenings, like potentially hepatitis D for those who have Hep B, following the guidelines.
Interesting. So the program's shown it can adapt, bring in new evidence-based parts effectively. Okay, let's get into the nuts and bolts. What does the actual exam involve? You mentioned history, physical, labs.
Right. It follows a pretty standardized protocol. It starts with that detailed medical history, personal, family health, any symptoms, lifestyle, risk factors.
Usual stuff.
Yeah. Then comes a thorough physical exam, looking at various systems, heart, lungs, blood pressure, pulse, abdomen, musculoskeletal, basic neurocheck.
And the lab tests. Are they the same for everyone?
Ah, this is another point where that age difference comes in.
Mm-hmm.
For people 35 and older, it includes a comprehensive blood test, full lipid profile, so total, LDL, HDL cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood glucose.
Okay.
Plus a urine test, checking for kidney, bladder, or metabolic issues.
And for the younger group, the 18 to 34s?
For them, blood testing is only required if specific risk factors pop up during the history and physical.
Like what?
Things like obesity, high blood pressure, or maybe a strong family history of relevant conditions.
Yeah.
It reflects that design of being more targeted based on age-related risk.
Right. And that final step, the counseling.
Yeah, that's meant to be the really critical integrating piece. The doctor discusses everything, the history, the physical, the labs, to build that individual risk profile we mentioned.
Mm.
And the counseling gives personalized advice on diet, activity, smoking, alcohol, stress, focusing on what's most relevant for that patient. The goal is really empowerment, giving the patient understanding and actual strategies for prevention.
Okay, so the program seems pretty comprehensive. It targets key conditions, it's adapted over time, shown success with specific additions like the hepatitis screening, and it has this assessment and counseling piece. Now, given it's fully covered for 90% of people, you'd sort of expect participation rates to be sky high, wouldn't you?
That is exactly where the picture gets, well, quite a bit more complex. And frankly, a little surprising. Because while access is almost universal for those with the statutory insurance, overall use rates are, well, only moderate.
Moderate. What kind of numbers are we talking about?
The analysis reports that only about 47% of the eligible population actually use the service within the recommended time frame.
Less than half. Seriously. Yeah. For something that's free and focused on potentially serious conditions, that really makes you stop and think, what are the barriers beyond cost?
It really does. And the report highlights some significant disparities in who participates. There are clear gender differences, for instance. Women consistently use it more than men.
Okay.
Around 50% for women, compared to maybe 44% for men, which kind of aligns with broader patterns you see elsewhere in preventive care.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Are there other demographic factors that stand out?
Oh, absolutely. Socioeconomic status is a big one, a major predictor.
How so?
Individuals from higher socioeconomic backgrounds participate more often. The report notes a clear link between lower socioeconomic status and reduced participation, particularly looking at things like job status and income levels.
So even when you take away the financial barrier, these factors tied to socioeconomic status still seem to be pretty significant hurdles.
Correct. And there are also regional differences across Germany states, you know, reflecting their decentralized system. Age also plays a role. Participation generally goes up with age, up to about 80, then it can decline, maybe due to practical issues or health barriers for the very elderly.
So it seems a program designed for everyone doesn't necessarily reach everyone equally, even being free. Okay, now let's get to that really big question you raised at the start. Effectiveness. With moderate participation, these demographic gaps. How effective is checkup 35 when you look at the evidence on a large scale?
Right. This is where the debate within the medical community, and you see it in the source material too, is really active.
Yeah.
Because while practicing doctors and patients too often report positive experiences, positive findings, the scientific evidence from these big systematic reviews about its overall effectiveness at the population level is quite mixed.
Mixed? Mixed how? What do these reviews struggle to show?
Well, international systematic reviews, including really rigorous ones like Cochrane reviews, they've consistently had trouble demonstrating clear, quantifiable benefits from general health checkup programs like this one.
In terms of what?
In terms of significantly reducing mortality rates or the incidence of those targeted diseases across the entire population over time.
Okay, so the big picture data isn't strongly showing that offering these checkups widely makes people live longer or results in, you know, significantly fewer cases of heart disease or diabetes across the whole country.
Exactly. That's the crux of the criticism. Critics often argue the evidence base just isn't robust enough to fully justify the pretty substantial healthcare resources that get invested in these widespread kind of untargeted programs.
Right.
They might suggest that people who develop conditions early might already be interacting with the health system anyway for other reasons. And for others, maybe the checkup timing just doesn't line up perfectly with how a disease progresses, limiting its impact on those population outcomes.
That sounds like a pretty serious critique from that systematic review angle.
Right.
How do you square that with what doctors are seeing on the ground? You mentioned they report positive findings.
And that's the key tension the report really highlights. While those broad reviews look at population outcomes, practicing physicians are reporting real-world experiences and data that do suggest significant value, at least at the individual clinical level. The report cites studies showing pretty substantial detection rates for previously undiagnosed conditions among people who actually do the checkup.
Like what specifically? What kind of things are doctors finding?
Well, for example, one study found that 25%, a quarter of checkup participants under the age of 40 had hypertension they didn't know about.
Wow, under 40.
Yeah. And among those who already knew they had hypertension, a huge portion, 80%, had suboptimal blood pressure control, which suggests the checkup is an opportunity to either spot the issue or help manage it better for individuals.
25% under 40 with unknown hypertension, 80% of known cases not well controlled. I mean, those are high numbers. That really suggests a tangible clinical impact for the person sitting in the doctor's office, even if that impact gets diluted or is hard to isolate in those massive population-wide mortality stats from general checkups.
It really does highlight that difference, doesn't it? Between what large-scale, broad systematic reviews are designed to measure and the practical findings in clinical practice. The value might very well lie in finding and helping these individual cases, rather than shifting those big population mortality curves in a way these studies can definitively pin only on the checkup program itself.
Are there implementation challenges within the program too? Things that might influence these outcomes or maybe how well we can measure them?
Definitely. The report mentions challenges in just ensuring consistent quality across different doctors, different practices.
Oh, variation.
Yeah, studies show variation in how doctors actually implement the protocol. For instance, many add extra tests based on their own clinical judgment beyond the standard stuff.
Which could be good for the patient.
Right. It allows for tailored care, but it also means the checkup isn't exactly the same for everyone, which makes comparisons harder.
And you mentioned the challenge of reaching certain groups earlier.
Yes. That's a critical ongoing issue.
Mm-hmm.
Reaching people with migration backgrounds or from lower socioeconomic groups, it remains difficult. You know, potential language barriers, different cultural views on health, other factors.
Right.
And that risks making existing health disparities worse if the program benefits aren't accessed equally by everyone in society.
And, of course, cost. Always a factor in healthcare.
Financial sustainability is always something that needs watching. The program's funded through the insurance system, sure, but the overall cost of such a broad screening approach has to be weighed against its proven clinical benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And compared to maybe other ways you could invest in public health or healthcare.
So we've really taken a journey through this German Checkup 35 program. It started with its long history, its core purpose, looked at how it's evolved, including that really successful edition of hepatitis screening. We explored who's actually using it, and importantly, where those big gaps in participation are. And then we really grappled with that central question of its large-scale effectiveness, contrasting the view from those broad systematic reviews with the real-world detection rates doctors are actually reporting.
Yeah, it's a system that offers remarkably broad free access. It's shown it can successfully tackle specific public health challenges, like finding that hidden hepatitis.
Right.
And doctors on the ground report real individual benefits, finding conditions like hypertension. Yet, it faces these valid critiques from systematic reviews questioning the overall sort of quantifiable impact on population health outcomes. And it continues to struggle with only moderate overall participation and these persistent demographic gaps.
It definitely gives you pause, makes you think about your own experiences with preventive health checkups, maybe, or how healthcare systems where you live approach prevention. Does this German model offer some useful insights? Or maybe does it raise questions for you about what the main goals of these kinds of checkups should really be?
Yeah, this whole deep dive really focuses a key question, I think, for anyone thinking about health systems. Given this mixed evidence, large studies versus clinical findings, and the clear success of targeted additions like hepatitis screening, does the primary value of a comprehensive checkup program like Checkup 35 lie more in its overall structure? Its demonstrated ability to adapt and integrate targeted interventions when the evidence supports them.
Or is its true worth primarily measured by those broad population-wide outcomes like cutting mortality rates, which the systematic reviews haven't consistently been able to show?
It's a really complex balance, isn't it? Trying to figure out the best approach for public health.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It was a pleasure.